Okay, so we're going to take a vote about Christmas. We're going to decide right here what we should do with Christmas. So by vote, how many believe that Christmas, here's your two options. Christmas is originates from pagan things. Christmas, like the celebration, clearly we're talking about Christ. So, but the celebration that we have originates from pagan things. And your other option is it does not originate from pagan things. Very cut and dry. So everyone gets to vote. Even if you don't know, you have to cast a vote. So pick one. I'll give you a moment. Okay, let's vote. How many say the things of Christmas, the celebration of Christmas, actually originates from pagan things? Vote. How many people say, no, it doesn't originate from pagan things? That's silly. Some of you double voted. I'm pretty sure. Okay. What's that? The truth is sometimes, but with this one, the truth is not in the middle, by and large. I mean, maybe as you look at some maybe individual things, we would find some middle truth. But the answer is that it does not originate from pagan things. Pretty much everything this man said in this video was absolute rubbish. Not all of it, but the vast majority of what he said. And that's not just my, like, opinion. There are a number of other, like, historian types of people, I mean, A, that would disagree, but responded to something I had seen on this video, which is, like, this man is just literally, like, he wrote a book where he got most of his information from Wikipedia. it's very odd. So we're going to go through today some of these issues of Christmas and paganism, because that's not good. Maybe. It is my experience, though this isn't like cults exactly, this actually becomes an issue at Christmas time. It's a little early for Christmas time, but I'm wearing the sweater. And in a week, we'll be singing Christmas music, probably. Maybe you will be in your house. In my house, we have to wait until after Thanksgiving. And then Christmas music can commence. But we are having some friends up, and the father in the family that's coming up, he was in our church in Las Vegas, and he would like push me mid-November. He's like, so when are we going to start Christmas music? And I was like, dude, weeks. You got to wait weeks. But so we may get something going. Let's see if we might have to restart this so we get our stuff here. But we're going to go through a few things today. It's in your notes so that you can have the information. It's on the last couple of pages. But I am going to drop a lot of history on you today so that you can know why does it say music? That's very odd. All right, so we're not even going to worry about that. It stopped. The whole slide stopped there, so I don't know, like, the series. It's okay. There's not filling the blanks or anything, so it's just going to be stuff in the thing. But this is a good bridge class because, like I said, it's not specifically about a cult. It's actually dealing with pagan ideas, and we sometimes in the church have to deal with the accusation of paganism, so we want to have a good response to that. But it's also a good bridge class for church history next semester, just to kind of get you warmed up and excited. Although, like, this time you're going to have, like, I don't remember, 6, 8, 7 weeks, something like that, before we come back to class. So hopefully I can get you really warmed up, and it'll, like, keep you nice and toasty all through the Christmas season. And then you can come back and be like, church history! It'll be exciting. So what we're going to look at is Christmas versus Roman holidays. Let's start with that. It's a very common statement. He said this is where it originated with Saturnalia. Saturnalia is was an ancient Roman holiday. There's no question about that. And it did occur around the same time. So Saturnalia was a Roman holiday. Its principal day was not December 25th, which is one of the things he said in this video. I think it's the first thing he says that's totally a lie. It's wrong. It's historically false. The primary day was not the 25th, it was the 17th, was the primary day of Saturnalia. The celebration would last for a week, so it would go from the 17th to the 23rd. Nowhere in that is the 25th. By the time the 25th came, we would be done celebrating Saturnalia. So connecting it to Christmas, it doesn't connect to the date of Christmas. It was sometimes a wild celebration. It included the concepts of authority role reversals. So in some homes, you know, the slave would become the master for a day or something along those lines. There was gift giving, and there were was an emphasis on liberty, but it wasn't liberty like Patrick Henry or, you know, George Washington liberty. It was liberty like no moral standards. We're free from that. We can ignore social conventions. So if I wanted, you know, to just buck social convention, this was the period of time in which to do that, maybe in the way I dress or something like that. So it was a celebratory time. It was kind of a wild celebratory sort of time, and it took place from the 17th to the 23rd. Now, just based on your knowledge of the New Testament, and maybe if you know anything about the ancient church at this time, how much do you think they would have been given to wild celebration? Probably not. I mean, they, I'm sure, enjoyed things. They went through communion and stuff like that. But how often in the New Testament do we see things about being sober-minded? Or about being sober. So this would be very contrary to what the church was actually doing, and they would have recognized that. Again, doesn't actually match the dates, and the celebration doesn't actually match what began to take place in Christmas. Christmas does bear, though, a superficial similarity to Saturnalia. This includes, I don't have it in the notes, but it includes some of the decoration that they would use. They use some evergreen boughs in the house and things like that. Again, his Christmas tree thing, he had a few things with the Christmas tree correct, but he had a lot of false things too. Evergreens were being used back here in Rome, so the use of the evergreen wouldn't have originated in Scandinavia anyway if the Romans had been using it centuries before. That would be a problem. But they would use evergreen boughs and stuff like that to celebrate. There was gift giving and that kind of thing. Now, undoubtedly, when the Roman Empire legalizes Christianity, it legalizes it, and then a little bit later in history, it says not only is it legal, it's the official religion. Everyone here has to be Christian. Okay, that doesn't actually work for Christianity. You can't legalize people into it. But the Roman Empire was doing a lot of weird things at the time anyway. So they made it the legal thing, and that's what everyone has to do. Now, because of that, they're getting rid of a lot of other things. It may have been sort of a natural thing. Like, we like it giving gifts. Who likes receiving gifts? By survey? Most of us like receiving gifts. And actually, who likes giving gifts? Isn't it? Now, don't we like that more as we get older? I mean, I'm older than you. I still like getting gifts. It's fun. But I love giving gifts. I love some of our traditions in our house. I love doing things where my kids are like, ah! I'm like, yeah. It's like the best day of, you know, I love when, like, there's utter surprise. Giving gifts is awesome. And so everyone's like, well, we kind of, you know, we used to do that here at this time. We've maybe gotten rid of some of these things. We are celebrating this new thing. And, you know, it's okay to celebrate that with gifts, too, because gifts kind of make sense with it. So I'm sure there was some influence that took place here as things were shifting. But that link between Saturnalia and Christmas is not nearly as direct as anyone like this would assume. if you go into the actual history of it. They're actually very separate kinds of events, and the links are superficial. And we'll deal with like some of their decorations and stuff in a minute as we get to evergreens. All right, there is actually another holiday in Rome that sometimes gets connected to Christmas. Saturnalia is in talking to people when it comes up. Saturnalia is the bigger one because it had like the gift giving and the celebration and the party and the decorating kind of thing, and so people tie that to Christmas. But as I've shown you, it actually isn't connected to Christmas. The dates are different. Close, but different. So you have different dates. You had some different objectives with the celebration and stuff like that. Sol Invictus, however, does bear some, maybe more, superficial connection to Christmas. Sol Invictus, which means the unconquered sun, was a Roman cult deity that had a festival, the festival Dies Natalis, Solus Invicti, which may have been on December 25th. May have been. There's a little bit of debate, because there's also evidence that the celebration might have been in August. It might also have been in October. So there's some question about it, but the December 25th date seems to be consistent. And if you were worshiping the sun, the winter solstice, or solstice, as the guy in the video was saying, but I have always grown up saying it solstice, so that's how we're going to do it in class. The winter solstice is a like sensible day to celebrate the sun, because it would be your shortest day of the year. And so then after that, he starts coming back. You know, he's unconquered. So maybe December 25th would work for that. But does that mean that that's where this came from? That Christmas came from this? The answer is no. Actually, they were celebrating Christmas before they started celebrating Sol Invictus. So if anyone was borrowing from anyone, it wasn't that the Christians were borrowing from the pagan world. It was that this pagan world was borrowing from the Christians. So how do we get a date of December 25th? Because this is, it's the date when people connect it to these Roman holidays, it's typically the date that becomes the issue. Like, Sol Invictus was probably the 25th. The Saturnalia was in December, so it was kind of close, with things. How do we get the date? Well, this is interesting. Was Christmas, and this is maybe the biggest question with both of these two holidays, was Christmas selected because of the solstice? And the answer is not likely. The solstice probably had very little to do with why they picked December 25th in the early church. The date of Christmas was more likely selected because of its relationship to the Annunciation. The Annunciation is the announcement to Mary that you're going to have a son. And it is presumed that the announcement takes place and then the Holy Spirit comes upon her. So the early church, the ancient church, connected the conception of Jesus with the Annunciation. That the Jesus was conceived just after the announcement. So Angel Gabriel comes down to Mary, says, you're going to have a son. And, you know, they have this whole conversation. How can I have a son? And he says, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And the one will be born of you will be called the Son of God. And she says, okay. And he goes, all right. You know, salute. And he's off. And then she goes, oh, I'm pregnant. So that's kind of the view that the early church had. I might be dramatizing it a little bit, but something along those lines. So they date Christmas based on the Annunciation. Now, that doesn't mean that the Annunciation happened in December, of course, because they're saying that's when Jesus was born. So anyone with a little math skill want to tell us when the Annunciation must have taken place?
March 25th. Oh, yeah, cheater.
That was hard math. There was a
Okay, so March 25th would have been the date. I mean, if you count back 9 months, that's human, you know, conception time, roughly. I just don't want to ruin anything for you guys later in life, if that's a surprise. So you count back 9 months, you get to March 25th. March 25th. So this is what they were saying. This is when the announcement took place. And so let's look at some historical reasons why this is the case. Sextus, Julius Africanus, who was dated around AD 160, a long, long time ago, well before Sol Invictus ever was thought of, or at least celebrated, he argued that Christ's conception must have been on March 25th. Some readings of Irenaeus, who is even before Mr. Africanus, Irenaeus asserts that Christ came on the same day that he would die, which at the time was thought to be March 25th. So he was making the claim Jesus came the same time he died. But he wasn't necessarily talking about birth. He was just talking about Jesus becoming incarnate. He was incarnate before birth. He had flesh in the womb. So they're looking at March 25th. This same day that he died thing is not an uncommon thought among people in the ancient world. That significant people, really important people, were born and died on the same day. That's why Moses was how old when he died? Anyone remember? 120 years old when he died? Not 120 in 1 month? Not 120 in 6 months? He wasn't 120 and a half? Do you still count halves when you're at 120? I don't know. They said he was 120 years. So he like got to 120, end. And so they looked at a lot of, you know, really important principal people, you know, back in the Old Testament or whatever, and that seems to be what happened. They hit a certain age and it was over. And so they said they must have been born and died at the same day. And that was just kind of the thinking that they had. Now, does that mean that's what happened? Nope. No. But that's what the thinking is here. So some of them, the ancient church, were saying that's when he came into the earth, when he was in the womb. Was back in March. And so, because he would have come at the same time he was going to go. And then they did the math the other direction. So if it was in March, he was going to be conceived. December, that's when we're going to celebrate his birth. Some translations of Clement of Alexandria, which is also very ancient, he speaks of some believing Jesus was born in March. However, the word that he uses may also have referred to conception. That he was conceived in March. Hippolytus, who was writing around AD 200, pointed to a December date for the birth of Christ. So by AD 200, we have it at least asserted in the church, not just about conception. This is when he was born, was in December. The Constitution of Holy Apostles, which was kind of a teaching set, makes reference to Christmas, though many agree that the whole of this set was compiled in the 300s, I think the early 300s, if I remember correctly. It is often asserted that the first books were made earlier, so perhaps very early 3rd century, which would put it in the 200s. This indicates that the date was likely known even earlier than that. The compilation was made like 350. Even if you go back and say at 300, that's when these first drafts were being put together. But that means whoever was thinking this had to have known this even before that. So putting it somewhere back in the 200s, that people were saying this is when Christ was born. All of that predates the issue with Sol Invictus. And really moves it out of a discussion of Saturnalia. Were they connecting it to Saturnalia at all? The answer is no. They were not. I don't have I do have that. So we'll talk about that in a second. So that gives you some idea of where the dating came from. Now, this is what I will say about the date of Christmas. When we found out we were pregnant with our daughter, we were like, oh, you know, this is, what do we do now? It was a crazy, crazy moment. We went into our doctor, our family doctor, and he, you know, did the test, confirmed everything. And he sat down with us, and they have like a little wheel, because doctors don't want to do the 9-month math either. So they have a little wheel, and then they tell you that's how they figure the, you know, your due date, or her due date, wasn't really mine. So he spins the wheel, he lines it up, and he says, okay, this is when your daughter is due, or your baby. We didn't know it was a daughter at the time. He says, this is when the baby is due, February 4th. She was born February 8th, so the last few days were rough. But he said, this is what I can tell you about this date. Her due date is February 4th. Or the due date is February 4th. I think it might be 5 or 10%. I think it's 5. 5% of babies are born on their due date. I mean, it was tiny. He's like, so what I pretty much can tell you is that this will not be the day your daughter, like your baby is born. But it will be around here somewhere. And that's what he said. So my conclusion to this whole thing is Jesus born in December 25th. I have no idea. I think it has like a 1 in 365.25% like odds of being the actual day of the birth of Christ. It clearly wasn't something that was super important to everyone at the time that they kept a hold of when that particular date was. What is important to us to understand from a Christian perspective is that the date was not established because of any pagan holiday. That theory doesn't come into history until 1,000 years later. And so when you have someone stand up like this guy who says, well, this is what it's related to, he is not using the actual history. He's using, like, he's only going back 500, 600 years in history, and he's using what people said then. He's not actually investigating the thing all the way back. So that you're aware and you know. This is it's a common thing people I've run into. This conversation so many times as a pastor dealing with Christmas. Well, we don't even know when he was born. Yeah, you're right. We don't know when he was born. But is it wrong to celebrate it? Absolutely not. Isn't there a great opportunity? My God chose to become a man. And that's something I want to celebrate. I want to recognize this. And put recognition to it. So isn't that a worthwhile thing to celebrate? Well, of course that's worthwhile. Well, do you know what day it happened? Well, no. Okay. Well, since we have a day already set aside where everyone's kind of agreeing that's when it happened, let's just go ahead and stick with that date because it makes sense. Unless it really offends you that it's December 25th, let's do something else. Actually, there's more stuff with the date. We sometimes sing a song at Christmas on the 12 days of Christmas, and we sing this song because way, way back when Christmas wasn't just a day kind of thing. I mean, there was a day, but it was a big celebration, and there was a large portion of the church that started the celebration on December 25th, but finished it in January, 12 days later. And that day, I think it's the 6th, was like the big day for portions of the church. So it's a headache. People get really like uppity about it. I've tried to provide you some of the historical stuff that I have found in my own research so that you have it and you can go, no. I got into a debate one time with someone, and it was on social media, which is always the best kind of debate. Over some things that we'll talk about here in a minute with the quotes, but I got into a debate, and he said, you know, that this date wasn't even around until after, you know, 350 or something, and anyone who says this would be, he was saying some very derogatory things. And I said, well, actually, it predated 300 by a long shot, because we have multiple references to the things going on, taking us back well into the 200s from a number of these guys, or like the second century. So 100 years, 150 years after Jesus had was born and had his ministry, we start seeing Christmas being celebrated in December. That's why we still do it today. And it's okay. All right, let's talk about some other things people bring up. What about the evergreens? Saturnalia used evergreen bows. We use evergreens at Christmas time, right? You guys put wreaths out or whatever. Nice evergreeny sorts of things. And that's really pagan, because that's what the pagans used. You want to know something? A little secret that no one talks about with this? It's what everyone uses in the middle of winter, because everything else is dead. They weren't going out in the field and like, well, let's celebrate. We could get the nice green thing that's still living, or we could get dead branches. I know what'll make my house look beautiful. Let's bring in some dead branches. Maybe we could get some dead leaves and a carcass of a mouse or two and paint it up. It's the dumbest thing when I've talked to people about this. I was like, well, what did you want them to use? There isn't other things out there. Everyone had to use it. It wasn't like the pagans were like, no, this is ours. And we have exclusive rights. So it's really dumb. The holiday is celebrated in the winter, so the use of evergreen boughs is a foregone conclusion. It's the thing everyone has access to. And that's just the facts. It's not like there was other options or would be other options. So it's unsurprising that all of the groups, pagan, not pagan, whatever, everyone would use evergreens. The tree was used as a representation of a tree in paradise. Because at the time of Christmas, what was being celebrated was the juniors. Okay, so, no, I'm just kidding. What was being celebrated was like, you know, we have a Messiah coming and he's rescuing us. What does Jesus rescue you from? Sin. Where did sin come from? The fall, the garden, and stuff like that, right? Are you reading ahead, Mr. King? Okay. So what they would do is they had a big, like, pageant where they would remember what happened. And so they would have a tree in paradise, and then Adam would come out and, you know, eat from the tree, and that kind of thing. That's why there was apples and stuff like that. Do you know why they're using apples? Because you could store apples and have an apple there. Why were they using the evergreen tree? Because it was the only tree alive during this time. So they would have this stuff and they would start celebrating those kinds of things. And that's where all that comes from. And it did eventually connect to our Christmas tree and decorating and stuff like that. The tracing of the decorations is a natural kind of thing, from apples to red balls to glass balls to, I mean, we use plastic now because we have cats. So, it's a natural progression, but that's what was going on. It was related to these things. All right, I'm going to get you out here in 4 minutes. So hold on. A couple more things so that you're prepared for them. Sometimes in this discussion, someone will quote a church father, Tertullian. This is the guy who first conceived of the Trinity. And they will say, this quote demonstrates that Christmas shouldn't be celebrated. So I have the quote for you here at length. He said, "To live with the heathens is lawful, to die with them is not. Let us live with all, let us be glad with them, out of a community of nature, not of superstition. We are peers in soul, not in discipline, fellow possessors of the world, not of error. But if we have no right of communion in matters of this kind with strangers, how far more wicked to celebrate them among brethren? Who can maintain or defend this? The Holy Spirit upbraids the Jews with their holy days. Your Sabbaths and new moons and ceremonies, he says, my soul hateth. But by us, to whom Sabbaths are strange, and the new moons and festivals formerly beloved by God, the Saturnalia and New Year's and Midwinter's festivals and Matronalia are frequented presents come and go. New Year's gifts, games join their noise, banquets join their din. Oh, better fidelity of the nations to their own sect, which claims no solemnity of the Christians for life." Now, he is pointing out, Tertullian is, that there's a problem of connecting things with the world. But he's even comparing it to the Jewish holidays. So he's not saying it's wrong to celebrate Christmas at all. He's saying we are something different. We need to recognize that difference. He wasn't saying no party, no celebration, no recognition of what Jesus was done. He's just saying there needs to be a difference. The person I ended up debating used this quote, but he left out a whole bunch of stuff, like all the stuff about the Jews and things, because he was saying we need to be like the Jews. And he missed, by the way he quoted this, he was cutting out all the stuff that would have actually undercut everything he was saying. And I said, well, yeah, but he's actually, Tertullian is addressing not just Saturnalia, he's addressing the celebration of the Jews, too. That any of that is false if we undertake it falsely. And that's his goal, his point. Sometimes also you'll hear someone quote Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, which is talking about putting the gold and silver on the trees. But that is way, way, way out of context. Right? Jeremiah was not prophetically addressing Christmas trees. He was talking about idolatry, not festive decoration. He wasn't saying you couldn't decorate stuff. He was saying don't practice idolatry. So that was the point. Final question here. First, we must decide how long an act, this is another question that you have to deal with, how long an act maintains paganness. So let's say any of these things, any one of them did have pagan origins. How long can it be in the church before it's no longer pagan? How many of you have ever come to a Christmas celebration of any kind and said, I'm doing this for pagan reasons? I mean, probably not. Now, that doesn't make it okay, right? And God addresses that kind of idolatry in Scripture, but it is something we need to consider. And the last question, of course, is should I celebrate Christmas? And I think it's perfectly fine to celebrate Christmas. Find your own traditions. Do it your own way. Do it faithfully to the Lord. But know that it is okay. And when people tell you, oh no, it's of pagan origin, you can tell them now, uh-uh. And then you can give them a printout of reasons it's not pagan. Alright, go with joy. I will try to have these graded as quickly as I can so that I can let you know regarding tests on Tuesday. I think I've got everything for cults. If you happen to be in Ezekiel and still have a presentation or a paper or something like that, please get that to me so I can get all that graded. Otherwise, go and have fun.